You know, there's no part of you that's actually like intentionally trying to piss people off just for fun and
Well,
pleasure and
look, it's
enjoyment.
confusing to me because I don't know. It's like I know, okay, because I'm smart enough to know that the things, the types of ideas that I want to spread and the types of conversations that I want to have, I know will piss people off.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you ask me, Michael, are you intentionally pissing people off? It's like I'm intentionally having the conversations I want to have, and I know it will piss people off. So like what am I supposed to say?
Welcome to the Self-Defined Human Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Corman. But not today. Today, I'm going to be interviewed by David Service, who was on another episode. I don't remember the number, but you can look it up. And we are going to talk about a controversial post that I wrote in the Collaborative Piano Facebook group, which I'm no longer a member of because they canceled me. But he's gonna interview me about that. And well, it's not just about that, okay? It's also about why it is that I seem to cause so much controversy in these groups, including his group, which is a group for pianists teaching and learning piano. So let's get to the bottom of it. What's the deal with Michael Corman?
Well, thanks for coming on, Michael.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure. I'm going to try to keep... Go ahead.
I feel like I'm being called into the principal's office.
Oh, no, you're not in trouble. You're not in trouble. At least I don't think so. But I guess we'll see. No, I'm going to try to keep this under... I'm going to try to stop at an hour.
Okay.
If I can figure out... Warren bought this new timer. It's I think this is Beethoven, but I actually don't know how to use it. Huh. Oh, well. Well, if we go over an hour, then we can blame Beethoven. Stupid Beethoven.
Always blame Beethoven?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Okay, so the reason that I called you into my office, Michael,
is
because I have received several private messages and also... public messages on this Facebook group that we have. I'm the only admin. It's called Teaching and Learning Piano. And people are asking me, what's the deal with this Michael Corman guy? What's the deal with him? Why is he writing the stuff he's writing? Why is he commenting the stuff he's commenting? I mean, it's not a lot. It's not like everybody, but it's like, I don't know. I'm trying to think how many. I feel like it's like four or five people have just asked me that kind of in passing. And I'm always trying to figure out, you know, because you've gotten a fair amount of flack on some other groups, also from different people, I'm always trying to figure out what that's about, because I mean I don't find anything that you write offensive. Some things I find funny, but I don't really find anything really offensive. What's about you write something that I like have a minor disagreement with? But never anything offensive, but seems like you have this gift for offending certain people. And I don't know, what's your take on that, just to start off with?
I think I do have a gift for it. I think, I don't know if that's a bad gift to have. I mean, it's, you know, people offend themselves. I'm not offending anybody. I don't think they're really offended either, honestly. I think they have an agenda. It's a, you know, they've got a thing. There's a thing that they want to, a point they want to make, and they seize on the opportunity to make the point. And I don't soften my words to prevent that from happening.
Well, the latest one, this actually wasn't on our group, but I just saw this actually a few minutes ago. You put something on this group. I won't name the group, but it's a group that deals with pianists who play music with other people. And there's something about, like, said something along the lines of, why does the soloist and the pianist need equal billing? Because the pianist is... not as important as a soloist, or something like that.
That's the way that they interpreted it. A lot of people.
That's what I'm assuming. That's the way they interpret it. And do you find, is that, so first of all, is that what you meant by it, or do you mean something else?
I can't remember exactly how I worded it, but I'm fairly certain that I explicitly said that the pianist is not less important. I'm sure that that was conveniently ignored by most of the people who were getting on my case about it. Because, you know, there's just scanning for buzzwords, for phrases. But it wasn't about that equal billing exactly. It was about an album cover, the photo that's on an album cover. Because somebody else had posted in the group, you know, asking, what are some of your favorite album covers that have pianists and singers on both on the cover or something? And so that got me thinking, well, you know what? It's a little strange to put a pianist on the cover with the singer, because when I listen to that music, I'm not hearing the pianist as, I'm not hearing the pianist the way that I'm hearing the singer. Okay. Because the singer is a human being. The pianist is, I'm hearing the piano. Okay. So it's like, to see a picture of the pianist is a little bit incongruous to me, because it's not quite, there's something about it that rubs me the wrong way.
I think it's kind of like because the singer, you're hearing their voice, which is part of them. And then you're also seeing a picture of the person who is operating the machine, which is the piano, but you're hearing the piano. So they're one step away
And the analogy that I gave was, it's like a movie where you have actors, and then you've got, say, the director. The director is important, but you don't put the picture of the director on the poster alongside the actors, because the people are not going to see the director. They're going to see the actors.
That's true. I mean, they might be interested to know who the director is. Like, if I hear there's a movie by Quentin Tarantino, I usually want to see it, but you don't really see him like on the poster. Is that?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So, but when you wrote, But you knew when they were, you wrote that was going to piss people off, probably, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. But this, you got to understand that I know what pisses people off. Yeah. And I know that, you know, that's, you know, what am I supposed to say? I don't see it as a bad thing that people get pissed off. I think that's a good thing.
Do you think that it stops people from hearing what you're trying to say because they just get triggered?
No. I don't think that those people are in a place where they're interested in what I have to say.
So they weren't going to listen anyway.
Right. They're in the group. They're not in the group for the same reason that I am. Like, they don't want to talk about that subject. They're in the group because they want a feeling of safety and security. And I'm not the one to provide that.
There were a couple of people that were like, oh, that sounds interesting. I'd like to talk to you more about that. I noticed. I just read really quickly, but there were a couple.
Yeah. Those are the people I'm looking for. Like, those, that's why I post, is because I'm trying to reach out to those people.
Could you reach out to those people without pissing everybody else off?
No, I don't think so, because I don't know the answer to this, but I don't think so, because the speaking directly. Is like how do you imagine that would happen? Like what? I don't think that's soft. Like, you're asking me to, you know, you're asking me to tone down the message, to basically take out parts of the message that are important. Like, basically the reason that I care about the message, like, to take out some of that.
No, I mean, I don't think really to take it out. It's just, and I'm not asking you to do this. I'm just like, seeing if it's possible, like, not to take out parts of the message, but just to, like, you know, just to maybe put other people's minds who you're not talking to, put their minds at ease. Like, I'm not saying this, which, you know, I know it can actually muddy the whole thing up if you do too much of that disclaimer stuff, but did you ever think about just doing a little bit of it?
This is the problem, is that it really does muddy it up. And not, it, it, the biggest muddiness that I've seen from that is that then the people who are, you know, I'm just going to call them the haters, okay? Yeah. The haters, if I kind of appease them a little bit,
yeah,
like get them to calm down a bit, they can end up misinterpreting what I say and think that I'm in support of them, or they like, and so it's very confusing to me, because I have people who, they basically are haters, okay? Like, once they get closer to me, they're going to, at some point, reveal themselves to be haters. And I want to, like, filter that out as early as possible.
Yeah, so that makes sense. So that you're not having to, like, waste time trying to talk to them and then find out that it was a waste of time at the end.
Yes.
Yeah. So you wrote about getting kicked out of some other groups. Why do you think you got kicked out? What's your side of the story? Because when you get kicked out, of a Facebook group, you don't get to tell your side of the story. They're just like, no, you just disappear. You just get disappeared, you know, like the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get disappeared. It's, you know, why did I get kicked out? Because the guy who was, well, I was just thinking of one particular group, the piano technique discussion group. I shouldn't name that. You can cut that part out of the recording if you want.
I can't remember which group that is. That sounds kind of familiar.
Yeah, I don't know. I might have the name wrong. I think I probably do. Okay, yeah. But it's just some piano group, okay? The admin of this group was just basically, I would say basically had it in for me, okay? Like, you know, didn't, like, pretty much everything that I was saying was, you know, he viewed it as a personal attack. And... you know, he wrote a book on something. I don't even remember the topic, but he wrote a book
about something. It was like peddling or something like that.
Peddling, I think that might be it.
Yeah.
And so I had written a post about peddling or something. And I was, and he's like, you're attacking my book. You know, he thought I was attacking. Like, I've never read his book. Like, I don't know. I just know the title. I can't remember the exact title, but at the time I was thinking, like, I know the title of this book.
It was like never mind, just kidding.
The craft of peddling or something.
Craft. Yeah.
Something like that. And
you're right.
It was like, I don't know. That's all I know about it. So I'm not attacking. I'm not attacking him. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, it was just everything that I was saying was, he was like trying to push my buttons, you know, trying to get me to act out so that he can be justified in kicking me out.
I've heard the police do this sometimes. They'll sometimes like try to push somebody towards breaking a law that will justify them arresting them. You know, if somebody's like doing something that's not illegal, sometimes they might like sort of subtly encourage them to do something illegal, so then they have a cause to arrest them.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that, right?
It's that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
I've seen them do that with other people too. I mean, you know, you can just see, they have techniques. There's tactics for this, for just getting people to start behaving badly, you know, just getting them, you just kind of push certain buttons and you get them to become irrational and get them to be aggressive. And then now you're justified.
Right. Right. I mean, at some point this administrator, you must've pushed her buttons at the first place, right? Or what was her name? It doesn't matter, but you like did something to this administrator to like push her button so that she was like, she wanted to throw you out of the group. Like,
right.
And then she's turned it around and started trying to push your buttons until you behave in some way. I don't even remember you doing anything that was like really that worthy of being kicked out though.
Oh, well, what I did was I had reacted with the angry emoji.
Oh.
Which is, I guess, is prohibited in that group. So,
I see.
And I had said, I don't know if it's in the official rules or not, but that's one of the rules. There's a lot of rules. I think they started making up rules as I started doing more things too. Rule about you're not allowed to talk about the group outside of the group. You're not allowed to challenge the admin. A bunch of rules like that. You're not allowed to bash piano teachers was explicitly stated.
Not
in the official rules, because I have a podcast episode where I say why it was called Why I Hate Piano Teachers. And so once they found out about that, then that became one of the rules.
Yeah.
And so that's what happened. I want to state also that I don't see it as a bad thing to get kicked out of a group.
No. I mean, I guess unless you're somehow like depending on that group for your livelihood or something, but you know, in a way, I listened to your podcast the other day about deleting all your Instagram followers.
Oh.
And I thought that was kind of interesting because it's like, you know, once you're talking about how you were kind of afraid to do that, and then you finally just did it, and then now you know what it's like. You kind of just went straight for the thing you were afraid to do. So, like, if you're willing to push the envelope to the point where you get kicked out of a group, I mean, most of us are kind of like, oh, I don't want to push it that far to get kicked out of the group. But if you do it, then you're like, oh, well, that's what happens when you get kicked out of the group. Maybe it's not that bad.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's good for me because it, you know, it's not a horrible thing because it forces clarity on what I'm trying to do. It forces clarity for the group too. You know, to kick somebody out is like, okay. Now I probably wouldn't do it like I did it. I probably would, you know, I would do it differently in the future.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't be so, I wouldn't make it so easy to kick me out. You know, I would force it. I would be a little bit subtler about it
because
I just made it too easy.
I know what you mean. I think I know what you mean. Like you would make them, they would have to do it in a way. They would have to basically admit that they're just doing it just because they just don't like you.
Yes. And that would be of benefit to them because that would force them to take some responsibility for what the group is about.
We just don't like Michael,
which is fine. Like this is, let me be clear, this is totally fine to say I'm making a group, it's for this kind of person, it's not for that kind of person. So like let's get clear on that. Rather than to play these passive aggressive games where it's like, let's just let whoever comes in, and then the people that we don't like will just kind of bully them and harass them. Like that's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to get clear about it and make decisions.
Oh, you were just telling me, you just reminded me, you were telling me about a different group where, correct me if I'm wrong, where there was no warning. It's just like, you just were disappeared from the group, blocked. You know what I'm talking about?
That happened with two groups.
Oh, did? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been kicked out of three piano groups so far.
Yeah.
Yes. And the most recent one was a group. Yeah, there was no warning. I don't even know.
Yeah.
The admin kicked me out and blocked me. And I don't know.
Mm. I see. It seems weird to kick people out of the group. I kind of think of it like, because now that I have this piano group, it's like, I kind of think it's sort of like the park, you know, like the public park. Like, you don't kick somebody out of the park unless they're breaking like a law, you know, where like, they're putting people in danger or something like that. Like if Facebook kicks you out off Facebook, then I guess you're kicked out of the group. But otherwise I don't see like, but I guess it depends. Maybe that's just the kind of group that that's the kind of group that I'm going to have. And somebody else can have a different kind of group. I'm just going to have a kind of group where people can just,
you know,
say what they want. And if you get kicked off of Facebook, that's not my choice, but.
Well, it's weird because, I mean, your group is smaller, okay? It's not like these other groups have thousands of people in them. And, you know, they messed it up, okay? Like, you let 20,000 people in your group, but you didn't vet them in any way, like, other than that they play the piano. Like, what? Like, you... It's a weird mindset. It's a weird mindset where they're just like, we'll let you in, but you better behave. It's like, okay, why don't we work that out first? Like,
yeah. I mean, I wonder if, like, maybe, let's say, 3 years from now, what if my group suddenly has 20,000 people in it, and it'll be the same? It'll eventually get so big, and then we'll have to start kicking people out for some reason.
Oh, maybe.
I wonder if that will happen. I can't see that happening right now, but...
It probably will. I mean, when organizations grow to a certain size, then that... They tend to, you know, they might splinter too, you know?
Yeah.
like this happens with religions, like they get to a certain size and then somebody has a disagreement, you know, we think that, you know, I don't know. We think that the Sabbath is on Saturday instead of Sunday or whatever. And then now
go start your own enemies. Church then.
Yeah, yeah. Start your own church.
That's right. And that's what happens. Yeah. Do you think, you know, there's no part of you that's actually like intentionally trying to piss people off just for fun and well, pleasure.
Look,
and
it's confusing to me because I don't know. It's like, I know, okay, because I'm smart enough to know that the things, the types of ideas that I want to spread and the types mm-hmm. of conversations that I want to have, mm-hmm. I know will piss people off.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you ask me, Michael, are you intentionally pissing people off? It's like, I'm intentionally having the conversations I want to have, and I know it will piss people off.
Mm.
So like, what am I supposed to say?
You know it will, but it's not, that's not.
It's not the
primary
goal.
You're not like a troll, are you? Because that's what people will say. People are like, why is he, is this guy like a troll or something?
Well, troll is a funny word because there's different definitions of it. And like, you know, was Jesus a troll? I mean, like anybody who is saying something that is, you know, I don't want to answer that question because I know it's going to give them ammunition. You know, if I say, sure, I'm a troll, but you know what? I'll just say it. Sure. Yeah. Based on certain definitions, you know, I'm saying things that I know are going to attract certain kind of attention.
Yeah.
I think that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. I've been called a troll before, even when I wasn't like intentionally trying to upset people. And so I think when I see people call you a troll, and I kind of feel like it's sort of a dismissal.
It's that's like, what oh, it is. That's the thing. It's a dismissal. It's not when somebody asks me if I'm a troll, okay, like if I'm intentionally trolling or something, it's like, It's one thing to have a serious conversation, okay? But it's another thing if you're using that word just to dismiss somebody. It's like, I don't want to have a conversation with somebody who's just trying to dismiss me off the bat.
Yeah, yeah. So what ideas do you have? What are some ideas you have that make you so different from other piano teachers? I mean, I know there are some, but like, what's like, is there like a main thing that makes you, that separates you from other piano teachers?
There's a lot of things that separate me. I mean, I'm kind of an outsider. Like I don't see myself as a normal piano guy. Like I'm just, I come from a different world and you know, my background is in computer science and not music. And then, but then, you know, I studied music more seriously after that. Yeah. And I did a master's degree in music. So I kind of have some, not a total outsider, but I look at things, you know, I mean, I don't think there's anything, you know, I believe in the stuff I'm saying. Like I'm not, I don't think I'm that weird. I just, you know, I think everybody else is weird, honestly. I tend to believe all the normal stuff I think about music. I don't believe the stuff that I think is wrong.
Mm.
Was there something specific you wanted me to talk about?
No, I was just trying to figure out like what, how do you, I mean, is there, because sometimes I think there may not, you know, what am I trying to say? I sometimes suspect that like fundamentally there actually is probably more, you're probably not that much different than a lot of other piano teachers. Like, but there's something about, but you are, I mean, there are some differences, but I feel like it's not, trying to like, put my thoughts in order here. I don't think you're like vastly different. I mean, you do the same thing. Like if I sit and watch you play the piano, listen to you play the piano, you're doing the same thing as somebody else who maybe is more like thinks about the piano in a more traditional way. but you're doing the same thing. I mean, it looks the same. The result is the same. So, I mean, you still, like, for example, you're like, you kind of talk about fingering, and you're like, don't play in your fingering. But when if you play something that you know well, like I've seen a couple of videos that you've posted and stuff, like, it doesn't look like you're just like, it looks like your hands are sure of themselves as if you had like worked out your fingering, you know, for example.
Yeah.
So
there's more than one way to think about things.
You know,
this is, I guess there's more than one way to think about things. I guess this is a fundamental disagreement that I have with a lot of piano teachers, is that they think there's one way to think about things. Mm. And my way of looking at it is I'm more interested in what works than in what's true. So I think let's play with different ways of thinking about things and find something that works.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Because like whatever it is that you're doing works, I guess that's what I'm getting at. Whatever, or that's, you know, whatever it is that you're doing is getting to the same place, like results wise, as far as like, you know, the way you play at the end and sounds the same as somebody who does all the right things that the teacher tells them to do. Mm-hmm. More or less. So
yeah, well, that's, you know, I didn't come up with this stuff to just cause trouble. I mean, I came up with it because I was struggling a lot with music and, you know, trying to succeed in the traditional music world and finding that there were points at which my personality and the way my mind worked and everything wasn't, you know, just wasn't working very well in that environment. And so after struggling and suffering a lot, I was, you know, came up with other ways of looking at things that worked better for me. So it's not like I'm trying to get to a different destination.
Yeah.
It's the same destination, basically.
Have you worked with students who like really resonate with the way you think about music? And
I wouldn't say that I've really worked with very many people who really resonate with it.
Yeah.
That's part of what I'm doing. That's part of why I'm trying to put more stuff out there online to just see where those people are. They must be out there in the world somewhere. You know, there must be. I can't be the only one. So, you know. Some people will resonate with various parts of it. I mean,
yeah.
But I am weird, you know?
That's fine. I love weird.
Yeah.
I'm weird too. Our whole family's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's, why not? Yeah. Why not be weird?
Yeah. Do you ever think...
Just because two people are weird doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to agree on everything. And I'm not, you know, it's not that I'm looking for people who agree with me on everything. It's like, but there are certain, I don't know. It would be cool to find where the like some of the, I don't know. Never mind. What were you going to say?
But you're not willing to really change your message at all to make, you know, to help find those people. Like, you don't really seem to put out much effort to like make your ideas like palatable. You just say them directly. And I think there's like, I don't think that's a bad thing, but do you ever think that maybe some people who would resonate with your ideas, maybe because that's new to them, because that's not what most people do. Most people do kind of like dress them up a little bit. Maybe you might miss some good ideas that you have because of the way.
Yeah. But the thing is that I need to be authentic. Okay. Like I have to say things that I believe in. Okay. Mm. And you might look at me and say, well, it doesn't look like Michael's trying to communicate, but that's just because, you know, if you say that, you're just fixating on one or two posts of mine. Like the vast majority of the communication that I do is highly and heavily censored to try to speak to the person, you know, to try to get through whatever filters I think I have to get through. And I don't think that works too well for me. Like, I don't see that has been so successful. Like, it seems that the more successful communication that I've done has been the kind where I've said the things that where I have, because it's about the energy of the message that has to be present in what I'm saying. It can't just be this carefully engineered thing. Like this, you know, like you get from some sort of politician where they're just trying to say the right things. Like that doesn't motivate me, and I don't think it motivates other people.
Yeah. I mean, actually, if you sort of, I guess, trigger somebody, they're motivated to like think about what you're saying. I mean, that even if they don't agree with you, you're actually like stirring people. And maybe that's a good thing. Even if they're not,
yeah, I think
you may not be persuading them, but you're, you know, enlivening them somehow. Oops, careful.
Yeah, I think so. I don't really try to persuade people.
Yeah.
People who get triggered are not looking to be persuaded. Like they have an agenda. There's something else on their mind.
And I've thought
that's what they want to talk about. They don't want to talk about the thing I'm talking about. Like, here's the thing that I want to be very clear about, that from my perspective, the people who get triggered by what I'm saying, 99.9% of the time, just really have no clue what I'm saying. Like, they think I'm talking about something else. Mm. And that's the thing that they want to talk about, is that thing. Okay. Like, that's confusing for me, you know, to post a message and then have 100 people change the subject in 100 different ways. Like, that's really disorienting for me.
That reminds me of, now I can't remember it, but I was like slightly triggered by something that you posted recently. Let me try to remember what it was. Like, it wasn't really about piano playing. Oh, it was about like the tendency for the people on the left to be offended.
Right.
Yeah.
That's an example of it. Yeah.
And right. I was a little triggered. I guess I'll say I was triggered. Not a lot, but I was just like, and I just did this in a private message, but I can't even remember what it was that triggered. Well, I sort of do. I think it was like, I didn't really like, I don't really like lumping, like, here's the left and here's the right.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I may not have really understood what you were saying. I mean, would you say that I probably didn't understand what exactly?
Yeah, I think what I said was that people on the left are the ones who try to silence and cancel people. The people on the right don't do that. So, because I was listening to Joe Rogan podcast with the CEO of Twitter and one of the lawyers from Twitter and a reporter they were talking about the policies of Twitter, the rules and the guidelines, whatever they call them, for banning people from Twitter. And the accusation was leveled at them that the rules are inherently biased towards the left. And the Twitter folks were saying, no, it's not. We know these rules are, we don't consider whether somebody is on the left or the right. This is, you know, we're concerned with people's physical safety. That's why we're enforcing these rules. And so my reaction to that was, like, hold on, like, it is biased. Like, even if the rules themselves are not biased, like, it's only the people on the left that would ever call for you to enforce those rules. The people on the right would not call for that. So that's why I made that post. Okay. Was to make that point. And I think you you heard it. And in your mind, you latched onto the part about, that I was probably lumping everyone on the left together, and that I think that's probably what it was, right?
Yeah. Like
that,
and I also I remember now I had some examples of where I thought people on the left have been canceled by people on the right. And so it was basically pushing against like the broad generalization, because I was like, well, there are these people on the right who do it sometimes too.
So tell me if I'm correct in this, that like the point of why I had posted that was to make a point about the rules of Twitter. Okay. But you were making a point about my generalization of political groups. mm-hmm. which is like a different subject.
It's a different subject, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a little thing in your comment that wasn't the main part of your comment that I had a little quibble with. Mm-hmm. And so I probably missed the point of what it was that you're trying to say because I was busy being like, well, it's kind of like your post in the you know, pianists who like to play with other people group. You said something about the pianist is subhuman or something like that. Anyway, that ruffled some feathers, I think.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Because yeah, so do you think that I missed an opportunity to communicate with you by generalizing left and right that way?
That's a good question. That's a good question because it's either that, or it's a combination of these. It's either that you missed an opportunity. Or I missed an opportunity to hear what you were saying because I focused on something that was on a tangent. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it depends. So, like, it could be my fault. It could be your fault. Could be.
But also,
it's probably nobody's fault. You know, there's probably
we wouldn't be talking about it right now if that hadn't happened. So. The fact that there was a misunderstanding has brought more attention to the topic.
That's true. That's true. I think it might depend on. I've had enough experience with you to know that like, if I have a disagreement with you, it's not the end of the world, you know.
Well, like, that's the thing. Yeah.
You know, like I can say I don't agree with this or whatever. And you're not going to just block me and I'll mm-hmm. want, or something like that. Like some people will, some people would do that to me, you know, I've been blocked on Twitter.
Yeah. So that's what's missing. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's what's missing from these public conversations. These, you know, it's just that there's not a feeling of safety or a feeling of, a good faith that it's everybody is just in battle mode all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually the thing that I, so back to like the piano groups, like, I went through a phase. Well, I was going to say I went through a phase and it's over, but it's probably cause you're not in the group anymore of like, coming to your defense, you know, and I tried to make it not about coming to your defense, but I would see people kind of like say, oh, you're a troll, or basically accuse you of not acting in good faith.
Yeah.
And I would want to say, I think Michael is acting in good faith. You know, I think he's, mm-hmm. I think what he's saying, he really believes he's saying.
I don't believe that they are acting in good faith. And I don't believe that they care if I'm acting in good faith. I think they are using me as a scapegoat. They're using me as a cartoon character that they can point at and get social points from their friends. You know, I think that's what they're doing. And I don't know that that's bad faith for me to say that. Maybe I don't think it is because I think I get what they're saying. It's like it's uncanny because like I don't tend to disagree with the things they say. You know, mm-hmm. like I get where they're coming from because I'm one of them, but mm-hmm. I don't. I'm talking about something else, you know.
Right.
And the thing that I don't agree with them on is that I don't think the groupthink is good, and I don't think that the clinging to tradition and authority for a feeling of safety is good. I don't think it is. So that's the point of disagreement.
Yeah.
And they want me to water down my message so that they don't get triggered. That's what they're trying to get me to do. And I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to stop talking about what I'm talking about just so they feel safe.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just I'm giving Natalie a snack real quick. I'm still here though. Whoops. Sorry, I didn't mean for that to happen. Yeah, I've actually been. Sorry, my face will come back here in just about 2 seconds.
When I say that it's that I'm not doing this in bad faith, it's. I don't mean that I'm not trying to trigger them or like what I mean is that I'm not trying to hurt them. Like I that's not my goal. I'm not trying to hurt them. You know, I think they are trying to hurt me.
Yeah.
I'm either ignoring them or trying to help them, just as I am with anybody.
I think what it kind of points out, one thing that it sort of points out, is that people, a lot of people, are not really comfortable with, I mean, it's like you have to be 100% for me or you're against me. And people aren't able to have any in between. I mean, I guess it's like tribalism, you know. I think,
yeah.
I feel like that's part of it too. It's like, oh, you're not saying the right things. You know, when they see you write stuff on these Facebook groups, like, you're not saying the right things.
Mm-hmm. That you're There's all kinds of accusations. It's you're not saying the right things, right? They're not
to be in our tribe.
In our tribe, you're not saying the right things. You're not. I agree with 80% of what you're saying, but I don't like that one thing you said. You're. It's just that so much of that. You're not saying the right things. You're not. Right. It's not the right. Not checking the right boxes.
Yeah. So like when you wrote that post and I disagreed with you, I didn't fully disagree with you. Actually, I don't. It was kind of like that. It was like, but there's this 20% that I have this little problem with.
Yeah. Right.
But like some, you know, people aren't. Seems like people. Some people aren't good with that. Because I actually like. I actually had an experience this year, or last year. I guess by now, with somebody who was kind of like a friend of mine who like totally, I got totally canceled by my friend. It was around the election time. Basically
that's cancellation season right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I was canceled by mm-hmm. somebody who I thought was my friend, but it turned out that there was like, I agreed with the 80% of the right things, but there was this 120% that I was on the wrong side.
Yeah,
and it wasn't even on the totally wrong side. It was on the slightly wrong side. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when I see that, you know, happen to other people, I think I do kind of have this like instinct to go and defend somebody like you, you know, who's mm-hmm. like who. So yeah, when I get these like private messages and stuff like that, I usually say, "Michael's a." I've known Michael for, I don't know how long it's been, maybe a year-ish or something.
Yeah, a little over a year, yeah.
Yeah. I've been interacting with him. He's sincere. He's smart. He's got a lot of good ideas. Sometimes he triggers people, but I think if you just listen, he has some good things to say. I don't always agree with everything that Michael says, but I don't think he's a bad person. That's what I usually try to say, something like that. And they're like, oh, okay, if you say so. I feel like that's happened to me, I don't know, 4 or 5 times
since I started. Why did they ask you? Like,
I don't know. That made me think, though, about, like, maybe it's because they might attach more power to me as the admin of the group than I realized. I don't really think of myself as that power. All I did was just fill out the form. Or what it was that you had to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't like invent Facebook or anything. But
I know.
Yeah. And I don't think of myself as like the boss. I mean, I guess I do have the power to shut the whole group down if I wanted to. I guess I have the power to
probably. You don't have the power to shut the group down.
I don't?
No. No. You have the power to relinquish your admin powers, in which case Facebook will ask somebody else to be the admin.
Oh. Can I kick people out of the group?
Yes.
So I could kick everybody out of the group and then...
Yes. I think you would have to do that.
Okay. So I could sort of shut the group down, but it would take a while.
Yeah, I you know what? I'm not 100% certain if you can do that. I don't know, because I looked into this, because I had a group. I'm trying to remember how that went down. I don't know. I had a group. Yeah, no, I had a group that I made several years ago, and I didn't want it anymore. And so it was not active. There was only like 13 people in it. And that I don't think you can do that, because even if you kick everybody out of the group, I think it will still keep the group. I think, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it will make it into a public group or not. I don't know, but it's not so easy. It's not so easy to just get rid of a group.
Oh, interesting. Maybe they don't want to give one person that much power.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. But you can kick somebody out, though, at least. Like, so I guess I could do that. So I guess in that way, I do have power. I guess I can turn off comments and stuff, probably, on posts. I've never tried to do that, but...
Yep, you can do that. You can mute people so they can't...
Oh, right.
So that, you know, like for a week or so they can't post.
See, these are powers that I have that I've never exercised. And I can't imagine doing it, but I don't know, maybe the right person just hasn't come along. But maybe that's what what I was wondering is that maybe that's what happened in some of these other groups, but I don't know. I feel like it's not my job to make other people get along. That's kind of a thing I've thought of in my personal life too. For a long time, I was like, always like trying to make peace. Like I have this friend who doesn't get along with this other friend. It's, I'm going to try to help them get along. And I think I've gotten to the point where I was like, that's not my responsibility. So I'm not going to do it on Facebook either.
I don't think people should be getting along so much. I mean, it's not good. Like it's, you know, I was listening to Jordan Peterson podcast yesterday, I think. Yeah. It's his most recent episode. I can't remember the name of the guest, Michael Malice or something, who is, he's an anarchist, and they were talking about, you know, Jordan Peterson seems to be of the opinion that cooperation, that a certain amount of cooperation is necessary, and maybe that it should be enforced. Okay, and the guest was saying that, because as an anarchist, he's saying no, you know, there should be more conflict. And I don't, you know, I have my own opinions about it, and I think that we should have more conflict. See, the thing is, the fear is that there's going to be perpetual conflict, that if you allow conflict, then it's just going to get out of hand. But I don't think that's true. I think that if you allow conflict, then people will start expressing their opinions. They'll start asserting their opinions, and then the group will splinter into smaller groups that at some point they'll find some equilibrium where you have people that are able to cooperate with each other because they have enough in common. And they're not being forced to cooperate. You're not taking these groups and forcing them to be, you know, part of something that's too big. And people feel confident enough that they can assert themselves. So they're not forcing themselves to stay together. So I think that if you allow conflict, I think that there will be in the long run more peace.
Yeah. I mean, that is what anarchism is, isn't it? I mean, it's like,
I don't know too much about it,
I had a friend that was always telling me that I was an anarchist, and I just didn't know it yet. And every time I would say something, she'd be like, yeah, see, you say you're not an anarchist, but you are.
Because the conflict does not come from the fact that people disagree. It's that they disagree, but there's something forcing them to cooperate. That's where the conflict happens.
That's true. I mean, if two people disagree about something, then... it shouldn't matter unless they are in a position where they have to agree, you know, they have to come up with a compromise.
And even if they do have to cooperate, like let's say we got attacked by aliens and we have to, which might, you know, maybe there's some report coming out. I don't know. Maybe we're going to find out that, you know, and let's say we had to cooperate with the Chinese, we had to cooperate with whoever we disagree with, then... I think we might find a way to make it work because we have a common interest, you know?
Yeah.
That's different than being forced to cooperate when we don't appreciate being forced to. You know, when the teacher says you have to work together, like nobody likes that.
Oh, yeah. I do hate that. I do hate working with other people sometimes. Mm-hmm.
But if Earth were under attack, you know,
we'd have to. We totally have to. Yeah.
And we'd find a way to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, we would find a way. I think. Yeah. I think. I'm hoping it doesn't come to that. Say that.
Hopefully.
I'm hoping that the aliens don't come.
They could already be here.
They might. Well, do you think like the, you know, all the people on the right, you know, the ones that voted for Trump, and all the same people that voted for Biden, they're just going to have to get along when that happens. They're just going to be like, we have to put all that aside right now because we have to build a shelter to protect us from the aliens.
Look what happened after 9/11. Like, I think people kind of cooperated, right?
It's true, yeah. Yeah.
At the very beginning of COVID, I think there was a little bit of cooperation, like maybe the first week or so.
Yeah. But not that much. I mean, the fact that people were like buying out all the grocery stores, buying out all the toilet paper. I mean, that's not cooperation.
That's true.
That's every man for himself. Did they do that? They did that everywhere. They did that on the East Coast too, right?
Yeah. But, you know, I know people that did that and they were telling me, I'm just thinking of someone in particular, was saying, I don't think they were thinking of it like it was every man for themselves. I think they were thinking, well, everyone's doing it. I guess this is what we need to do. Like, I guess we're going to need to stock up on toilet paper. Like, I don't think it was like fighting people. I mean, maybe some people did that.
No. I mean, it's true. If everybody else is buying up all the toilet paper, then you're going to have to stock up on it. Because it's like, you don't want to go without it. Our society, you know, we don't accept that. We don't accept not having toilet paper.
Right. I mean, I was glad that I had just bought toilet paper right before COVID. You know, I didn't intentionally stock up on it, but I had just bought a big thing of it.
Yeah. We were actually sweating it because we got low, but we never ran out. We did get low though. And then I managed to get some, a big, you know, one big thing. But by the time I got it, they were starting to ration it. Like, you can only buy two of these or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's also like, the thing with COVID too is that it's so easy. Like, each side is blaming the other side. You know, it's so easy to do that. With 9/11, you couldn't really do that. You know, it was us against the Muslims, right? That was very, very cut and dry, you know? Mm-hmm, it wasn't... Mm-hmm. You couldn't blame the Republicans or the Democrats until later. Then it's like, you know.
Then they started to, like, yeah.
Yeah. But at first, there was a clear common enemy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or at least the terrorists. I don't know if it was the Muslims. But
well, see, again, you're latching onto the 20% of something that I said.
Yeah, I know. You know?
I'm not saying it's all the Muslims. I just, that's
I know,
the,
yeah.
That was I, the... That's the meme, you know.
Yeah, and I know what you mean, and that would be a perfect example of me like finding one little part in the sentence, and I was like, I'm not comfortable with that part of the sentence, but the rest of it was cool. Yeah.
See, but if I had qualified it more, it would like it's just going to water down the whole thing. Like it's going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I know what you mean because if you'd said. Then the common enemy is the terrorist, and you could have said the terrorists, I guess.
I could have said the terrorists, but then you're going to be thinking, well, it's just the guys who flew the plane. But that's not really what was happening. Like, what was happening? You know, it was a bigger issue than that.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't just those people. It was a yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It starts to get complicated, and people forget what we're even talking about.
Right.
Yeah. Like if we start focusing on that one part of it, then we forget that what you're talking about, how if there's a common enemy,
right?
You know, and that's the danger of that, I guess. That's mm-hmm. the danger of somebody looking at one of your posts just to tie this all together, and focusing on the part where he said the pianists were subhuman, which I just think is funny.
I didn't say subhuman.
I know you didn't say that, but that's what they read, don't you think?
Yeah, I know it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I said not human, because it's true. The piano's not a human.
I thought you did, is a human. You did say subhuman, didn't you? Or no,
I
actually
say subhuman. That's not the point I was making. The point is that it's not human. So when you listen to the piano, you're not hearing a human. When you listen to the singer, you are hearing a human.
Lauren has a degree in collaborative piano. So, Lauren, do you think that the collaborative pianists are subhuman? Because
apparently Michael does.
Apparently Michael does.
So if you want to fight me, this is the time.
Yeah. I wonder if Lauren has anything to say about that. Some are, she says. See?
Some are, yeah.
Yeah, some of them are subhuman. There we go. That was a good answer. But you didn't actually... See, that's the other problem is somebody can read through all the comments and then... Yeah. I think it's what just happened to me, actually. I read through the comments and then in my mind... I had like retroactively inserted the word subhuman
exactly.
into your post.
That's yeah. the thing that scares me. That's what bothers me about these people. Okay. It's the one thing that gets to me is that they, when they gang up on me, they change the narrative and they tell a story. And when other mm-hmm. people read it, suddenly they're not hearing what I wrote. They're hearing what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how to deal with that. Like that's something I spend a lot of time thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that if I fight them, that it gets worse.
Yeah.
And I know that if I try to, you know, if I try to engage with them in any, like I can't find a good way to engage with them that doesn't make it worse. It's like every way seems to have its downsides.
That reminds
me.
So
what I tend to do now is I just don't engage with them.
Yeah. That's probably the smart thing to do. That reminds me, and I'm going to try not to say a lot of details about it, but we were just in court, and it was kind of interesting because we were accusing somebody else of doing something, and that person started accusing us of doing something, and then our lawyer was really good. Our lawyer just totally did not engage what we were being accused of, didn't even mention it. Like, just didn't acknowledge it. And I think that was the right thing to do. Yeah. And we were like, well, it's a good thing we had a lawyer, because our instinct would have been to, like, defend ourselves and probably make it bigger. It would probably make that thing bigger, you know?
Yeah.
So I think you're probably doing the right thing by not engaging in some of those things, because it just makes them blow up even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I worry that if I don't engage... It probably is wise not to engage. I just worry that I'm missing opportunities to tell more of my story, you know.
That's true.
But yeah, it's probably not the place to do it. It's probably best just to make note of it. And if I want to tell that story, then make a separate post where I tell that story.
Right. I mean, it's true. There's probably not a hard and fast rule, because there's probably going to be times when you do need to defend yourself. So,
yeah. But see, like in your case, like your lawyer knew that you didn't need to defend yourself. Like,
yeah, that's not what we were in court about. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I was like, you stole something from me and that's what we're in court about. Like you could say whatever you want, but that's not what that's not the question on the table. You can say all the things, terrible things that I did to you, but that's not the question that the court is considering.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a certain kind of focus.
Yeah.
That you need there.
Yeah. I thought that was really interesting. The whole, like, I mean, I've never been in a trial before, but just the way it was really, to me, it seemed like a pretty fair process, you know?
Was it like a full blown trial?
Yeah. I mean, the other party was, they didn't have an attorney. They represented themselves, but we had an attorney. But it was like witness, cross examination. What do you call that? Redirect, like all that stuff. Closing statements, or
was there a
closing
jury?
There was no. It was just a judge. Just okay. A judge. Good thing there wasn't a jury. That would have been a nightmare. I would have hated that. I don't know why. Actually, maybe it wouldn't have mattered. Except for, I feel like you would argue differently. Like, I feel like for a judge, I think judges are trained to, like, look at the issues that actually matter. Like, a jury might have been swayed by all those other accusations, you know?
Right, but the judge might have ordered them to not, you know, get off track, you know, because they might. That's why you have the judge, just to make sure that it goes according to procedure.
That's true. The judge might have said, we're not going to talk about that. All right, let's see.
Has it been an hour?
Maybe. Also, just because I could tell that Natalie's starting to be ready for me to submit. So let's see. In summary, yes. Who is Michael Corman, and what are you trying to do, and why are you trying to ruin all the piano Facebook groups in the world?
Look, I'm just trying to make money. Like, that's a you know. I'm just trying to help people with the problems that I've had. You know, trying to learn how to play the piano, learn how to meditate, learn how to learn skills. That's it.
So if you write some kind of post and I find myself offended by it, what should I do? Should I respond, or should I just block you, or what should I do?
It's not a bad idea to block me. You know, that probably would be easier for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're really offended, you're probably not going to want to block me. You probably want to, you know, you want some drama. So, I don't know. You know, maybe, you know, just say whatever. Say it. Get it off your chest, you know.
Yeah.
We'll make it work somehow.
We'll just muddle through. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you coming on and explaining yourself.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about this.
Yeah. I think sometimes I think you've been a little misunderstood, and hopefully this helps a little bit with that.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
I'm not, just to be clear, like, I, not that the haters care, but I'm not, I'm not trying to spread the story that I am a victim and I'm misunderstood and everybody should feel sorry for me. That's not the point.
Mm. That was my, I invented that, didn't I?
Did you?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, just now when I said that, I
find it very interesting that I'm misunderstood as a social phenomenon. Like, this is really interesting to me. Mm. And I think that there's something very good on the other side of it. You know, I think that if you want to spread good ideas, you have to go through that. So that's what I'm doing.
I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of stuff you're doing, like, I don't know, 5 years from now.
Yeah.
And then we'll look back on this and it will all make, it's all going to make sense to people.
Yeah, like, I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, okay. Have a good rest of your life. I'm not going to block you, so I'll see you again. All right.
Okay.
You can block me, though, if you want to. All right. Well,
yeah, maybe.
We'll see what happens.
All right. Thank you, David.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.